Now you will be listening to a program about a specific illness. And this is because you are starting your journey with this condition together with your parents or guardians. If that's not the case, then you're just interested in this and want to know more about it. In this program, you will be listening to a child or a young person telling us about their specific illness, talking about everything they went through since the first day they were diagnosed up until where they are now. You will also listen to the caregiver talking about the experience and the doctor that was treating the child. So sit back, relax, and listen to what they have to tell us.
Welcome to RX Radio My Health Journey podcast on rheumatoid arthritis. My name is Inga and I have been diagnosed with parathyroiditis nodosa. I will be chatting to Mika Yin, her mother, and Dr. Shanaz Akawaya about juvenile idiopathic arthritis. Mika was diagnosed with this condition in 2018 and is an outpatient at Red Cross Children's Hospital. Can you please introduce yourself?
I'm Mika and I'm 8 years old and I have juvenile idiopathic arthritis. And I like to dance.
Hi, my name is Veliska. I'm Mika In's mommy.
Can you tell us more about juvenile idiopathic arthritis?
It means your joints are sore and painful. You can't walk, you're stiff.
Do you know why it's called juvenile idiopathic arthritis?
It means that children that don't know where it came from.
Okay. Do you know what it meant when you first heard it?
We did not know. I was shocked too. I didn't even know that children could get this form of arthritis.
What happened before you came to hospital?
My neck was sore and my knee, ankle. And sometimes when I wake up and sometimes I can't move my neck or my knee. Sometimes at night that my knee is sore. And then my mommy told me to throw out the pillow to wake up. At school, I couldn't play outside. I couldn't walk because my ankle, knee, or neck is like pain in the sore.
I think it was the end of January, and one morning she woke up, "Mommy, my neck is sore." And I said, "Oh, maybe you just slept bad." And then it went on for 2-3 days, and I just decided, okay, this can't be a sore neck. So we took it to the doctor and he immediately referred us to Red Cross Hospital. At first they thought it maybe it was just a muscle that was stiff. So I sent back, and then 2 days later she came home from school and the ankle was swollen and she was limping, and I knew that something was not right.
So Mika, what happened when you were here in hospital?
I went for blood tests, x-rays and scannings, and machine that was making a big noise and it was really loud.
They did the MRI and the scans and the ultrasound, and at the time we did not know it was arthritis. It wasn't diagnosed at the time in hospital, so it was a bit scary because we didn't know what it was and they were looking for something. So you were scared about like what they're going to find. So I think that was mostly it, not knowing and the fear of not knowing. I think I was relieved that it wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't cancer, because it was suspected. They thought it was bone cancer, so it was a relief, but at the same time, I think we were shocked. Arthritis is something that you associate with old people,
yes.
Not with children as young as 8 years old. So I think it was mostly, we were shocked.
Hi everyone, I'm Shanaz Akawaya. I'm a pediatrician by training, and I'm now subspecializing in pediatric rheumatology. So today we're going to talk about juvenile idiopathic arthritis and what it is, and the journey of our patient Mika Yin, who's been diagnosed with, for short we say, JIA. So juvenile idiopathic arthritis is one of the most commonest forms of arthritis in children. People often get quite shocked to hear that arthritis occurs in children, and it very much does. It is not the same thing as the old people's type of arthritis, but what is happening is that the immune cells in your body, the fighter cells, instead of only attacking bacteria and germs, it starts attacking the cells in the joint, and that causes pain and swelling and what we call inflammation. With children with JIA, they sometimes don't experience pain, and they first start off with swelling in their joints, and the pain sort of creeps on The parents notice they're walking a bit funny. The parents notice that they're a bit stiff in the morning. And usually it takes a few weeks before they actually realize that there's something wrong. In Mika's case, it was a little bit different. She had pain in her neck and she had quite severe pain. And that's why we weren't so sure originally of her diagnosis, because some of the things didn't fit with JIA. And so how we diagnose it is that there's certain criteria, and the criteria are that the pain or this joint involvement has to have been there for more than 6 weeks. It has to have been in a child who's less than 16 years old. We obviously have to see some swelling or there's joint pain on our examination, or what we say limitation of movement, so the joint doesn't move as well as it's supposed to move. The diagnosis is mainly on what the parents and the patients tell us, the history, and our examination. It doesn't necessarily have to have special tests, special x-rays or MRIs or blood tests, but those help us a little bit. And what they help us with mostly, which was the case in Mika, is to exclude other things. So to exclude other more scary things. Pain in the joints can be from lots of things in children. Some of them are not serious. Some of them are from injury. Some of them are from being overactive. And then there obviously are those that are quite serious. Juvenile arthritis being one of them, but TB in the joints, and like Mika's mom said, is cancer. So we do the tests to exclude those conditions.
How is your condition treated?
I take methotrexate.
Do you take methotrexate only?
Only on Tuesdays.
Okay.
8 tablets.
Are there side effects to your medication?
I feel nauseous sometimes.
How do you deal with your condition?
I really take some Panado or ibuprofen, and sometimes I just lay on the bed and relax.
I think before she went into remission, I had to stop working because in the morning she's stiff, so I have to give her medicine and wait till the medicine runs through her body and it starts to work. It normally takes 2 hours. And then going to school, we had to carry her into school, into the class, and then wait a little bit to see whether she's okay or not. So it took a toll, and also she has an older sister, so we couldn't give any attention to the older sister. We had all our attention and our focus was on Mika, and so the older sister was neglected, I'd say.
How do you manage to live your life the way you used to?
No, I don't feel much pain. So now I can dance and I feel much better now.
I think that she's been very brave. It hasn't been easy. When we started on the medication, it was like 12 tablets a day. And she endured and she braved to it. And right now we're only on one a day. One tablet a day and 15 for the week. But we started on 12 a day. And she never complained or never like moaned about it. She just took the medication. So I'm very proud of her and what she's been through, even in hospital, all those tests that she did. She just endured. So I'm very proud of her.
The treatment stepwise approach is we often start with prednisone, and prednisone is used in the short term to calm down the immune system, and then we try and quickly get off prednisone because prednisone has a side effects, but also methotrexate. So methotrexate can as well. The pain that gets experienced is often mild to moderate pain. It's not severe pain. And we recommend patients take painkillers regularly, Panado, and like Mika had said, she uses ibuprofen. And ibuprofen we use as a painkiller, but also to stop the inflammation. Parents are also very scared of ibuprofen in children, but with prescription from a doctor and under guidance, ibuprofen is safe.
Did anyone support you in this journey?
Yes, my mommy, daddy, my whole family, and my sister.
So what advice would you give to other children living with this condition?
I would say be brave, don't be scared, hold on and believe in God.
I think advice I could give is just to find out as much information as possible about the disease. Speak to your doctor about any concerns that you have or anything that you don't understand. Sometimes we as parents are scared to ask questions because we're scared of the answers we might get. But I think just to familiarize yourself with the disease, give your child as much support as possible. Doesn't matter about the age, whether they're 8 years old or 12 or 13, give as much support as possible.
What I would say to all parents, to all families and all patients is inform yourself. But inform yourself with the correct knowledge. Ask your doctor where you should Google. Google can be useful, but sometimes it's dangerous if you're looking at the wrong websites. There's lots of information out there, but we would like to steer you in the right direction. So it's important to inform yourself about the condition. Speak to your doctor, speak to your nurses. If you're not sure of anything, to ask. We're there to help the family, not just the patient. It's a lifelong journey that we walk with you. So we want things to be as clear for you so that you also understand the disease and understand the importance of taking the medication. Often what happens is parents or patients don't understand what's going on, and so they don't realize how important the medication is for their child or for them. So information is really, really your weapon. It's your superpower against fighting any illnesses. If you're experiencing problems, then it's really important just to be honest and upfront with your doctors.
Thank you for taking your time out to listen to this program. This was put together by RX Radio, a radio station by and for children, situated at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. Please visit our website www.rxradio.co.za for more amazing programming. Enjoy the rest of your day.